for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study of Psalm 2 with a two-part message titled, Jesus Will Rule the World. We'll be looking at Psalm 2 beginning in verse 6 and finish out the psalm in verse 12. Before getting into our study, we want to read a letter we love from a brother named Vince. Vince wrote to us and said, Brother Greg, thank you so much for your videos on YouTube. Even since being born again mid-2012, it has been quite a journey. There's been so much praying, reading, studying, and listening to sermons. There is so much misinformation out there, it's easy for Christians and people to stumble or fall into error. I now realize more than ever how important the King James Bible is for a Christian's foundations. Belief in its authority and infallibility has got me over many hurdles Christians will normally encounter, and I know there will be heaps more to come. And Brother Vince made some personal comments and requests, and then he said, again, thank you so much for all your work. I feel very blessed to have come across your teachings and have enormously grown in Christ ever since. Yours sincerely in Christ, Vince B. And we thank you for that letter, Brother Vince, and amen to your testimony about that book. Those words of God in that King James Bible are supernatural. They are our strength. They are infallible. They are the authority on all matters of which they speak. Amen. And if you would like to write to us, you can send an email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can go to bbfohio.com and use the Contact Us button. People ask why we have three B's in our Yahoo address, and there are two reasons for that. Number one, if you just have bbfohio.com as your website and you make that your Yahoo address, you get spammed to death. So we also are Baptist, and so we have Bible Believers Baptist Fellowship Ohio at yahoo.com is what what that stands for. So again, that's bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or go to bbfohio.com and click Contact Us. Or you can write by snail mail at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, that's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now let's begin our study of Psalm 2 as we conclude our study of that psalm by going from verse 6 through 12 as we see that Jesus will rule the world.
Okay, I want everybody to see this because I want you to read the words, but if you can, also kind of go back and forth and see his body language, and we'll see what he says.
If there is skin, מהדיווחים הראשונים שמגיעים אפשר לקבוע כבר עכשיו שההסכם הזה הוא טעות היסטורית לעולם. בכל התחומים שהיו אמורים למנוע מאיראן את היכולת להתחמש בנשק גרעיני, נעשו ויתורים מפליגים. ובנוסף, איראן תקבל מאות מיליארדי דולרים שבאמצעותם היא תוכל לתדלק את מכונת הטרור, ההתפשטות והתוקפנות שלה במזרח התיכון ובעולם כולו. אי אפשר למנוע הסכם כשהנושאים והנותנים בו מוכנים לעשות עוד ועוד ויתורים למי שקורא גם תוך כדי השיחות מוות לארצות הברית. ידענו היטב שהרצון לחתום על ההסכם חזק יותר מכל דבר, ולכן לא התחייבנו למנוע הסכם. כן התחייבנו למנוע מאיראן להתחמש בנשק גרעיני, וההתחייבות הזאת בעינה עומדת. אני אומר לכל המנהיגים בישראל, עכשיו הזמן לשים בצד את הפוליטיקה הקטנה ולהתאחד מאחורי הנושא הגורלי ביותר לעתידה וביטחונה של מדינת ישראל. תודה רבה. בהמשך אני אתייחס ל...
Now, do you see that? Right at the end there especially. I say to all the leaders in Israel, it is time to put petty politics aside and unite behind this most fateful issue to the future and security of the state of Israel.
שים בצד את הפוליטיקה הקטנה ולהתאחד מאחורי הנושא המובילי ביותר לעתידה וביטחונה של מדינת ישראל.
There you go. So I'm just going to tell you, you wake up any day, or it may be months down the road, but don't be surprised to wake up because of the way the time is. After Israel's day is coming to an end, ours is beginning. And don't be surprised to wake up and see that Israel had bombed Iran. And if that happens, it won't be like it was when they bombed Iraq back in, what, 1982, I think it was? 81. This, I think, is a powder keg. It'll blow. So let's get into Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Beginning in verse 6. Now, this is picking up on a message that we preached some months ago, actually. And obviously we left off verse 5. I think I'm going to start with verse 5 when we start reading, just for context. But let's open with a word of prayer. Brother Jim, would you mind opening our Bible study with prayer?
Lord, Father, we just ask your blessing every tonight's service. We thank you for your anointing and grace that always prepared for us.
Amen.
And Lord, we just ask that you be the body of Christ. Lord, we're getting buffeted on all sides.
Yeah.
But thank you, Lord, that we weary not in our well-doing, that you will find us faithful, Lord, when you return.
Amen.
And Lord, everyone in here should be looking up, because our redemption does draw up.
Amen.
And we just glory in that fact, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We say, come soon, Lord. And Lord, may everything said and done tonight bring honor and glory and praise to your name. For it's in your name.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 2, picking up verse 6 and 12. Jesus will rule the world. Let's read the text beginning in verse 6. So let's start in verse 5. Read Psalm 2, beginning in verse 5 with me. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. I should have had Charlie run out to the car, just because I was watching the previous message, like I said, it was a few months ago, and I had him go make me coffee right in the middle of it. Everybody be thinking, man, this Charlie guy really gets run to death, doesn't he? So in the previous five verses, our message was titled The Fall of the United Nations. I think we called it The Rise and Fall of the United Nations. And we saw that Jesus will destroy what our politicians today are calling the New World Order. And he will take his throne and he will rule. And that's what verses 5 and 6 are telling us. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. We'll actually come back to that later in the study, and we're going to see in Revelation 19 what that actually means. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And there's a hill called Zion. It's in Jerusalem.
Amen.
And Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And all efforts to rule this world apart from Jesus Christ are rebellion.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, and even as an adult, you hear all about world peace. World peace. And of course, these beauty pageants, they're like porn pageants these days. But they always, you know, they always have to say, you know, I just want to promote world peace. And everybody says, oh, isn't that sweet? That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. It's about as realistic as saying, I want to go to the moon and eat it because it's made of cheese. You are not going to have world peace apart from the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Now, everybody says, well, with that attitude, you're not. Trust me. Me and all my people, which are Bible-believing Christians, we're not the problem.
Right.
Now, we are going to be pointed out more and more as the enemy. But we're not the problem. We're not the people causing the wars. You can go to a website called religionofpeace.com. Religionofpeace.com. And you will see the tens of thousands of documented terrorist attacks by people who are Muslim. You cannot find a website tracking the terrorist attacks of Bible-believing Christians.
Amen.
If you did have a website like that, you would have a big zero on it. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that if there are times where they have claimed, like that Eric Rudolph was a Christian. He was a nihilist. And he thought Christians were stupid. And he thought it was ridiculous how all these Christians down south would help him out. And what he didn't realize is they weren't supporting him, but they were misguided. But they felt like they should at least help him stay alive, so you know that they could show the love of Christ or something like that. And there's a few other examples where people are accused of being Christians, and they've committed these acts, but they're not. You name it, and I'll, you know, I'm not going to try and name them all. But you tell me if you think that there's a Bible-believing Christian who has committed terrorist acts, I guarantee you, you've been told wrong. Doesn't happen.
Amen.
All efforts to rule this world apart from Jesus Christ are rebellion, and they always end up in murder. Kingdom builders are bloody murderers.
Yeah.
Bible-believing Christians aren't about building a kingdom on this earth. And so that's why we're not killing people. But anybody who wants to build a kingdom, whether it's a communist dictator or a religion like Islam, which is totally incompatible with constitutional government, Islam is a church-state setup. You can't have any form of democracy, any form of republican government in a nation with the majority of people being Muslim. Won't happen. Can't happen. And it doesn't matter. Any form of government, any form of religion, the Roman Catholic Church has killed millions through the years trying to establish itself as the kingdom of God on earth. Every attempt at world peace by man always involves domination and death. And that's the reality. And we just read that he's going to save his anointed and the deliverer of Israel, who are his anointed, is Jesus. And we saw that he comes out of Zion. He's on his holy hill of Zion. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans 11 and see this. So we know for sure who we're talking about here in Psalm 2 is Jesus Christ. And he is the deliverer of Israel. He will deliver his anointed that the world is coming against. In Romans 11, 26 and 27. And it begins with the words, "And so all Israel shall be saved." There's no way that the church is Israel. There's no way that the church replaced Israel, because the church is saved. Amen?
Yeah.
If you're a true believer and a member of the true church, you are saved. Israel isn't saved yet. And so all Israel shall be saved. What I'm telling you is those who teach replacement theology are Bible ignoramuses.
Amen.
Right.
Let alone being led by a foul spirit. As it is written, watch this, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. Our Savior, our Deliverer already saved us. This is not talking about even soul salvation at this point. It's talking about saving them from destruction. The result will be they will all have their sins covered, taken away. But when He returns as Israel's Deliverer, He's saving them from destruction. He's already provided for salvation for those who will believe. But it says here, He comes out of Zion. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So this isn't the church. This is Israel. And people are saying that Israel today is not fulfillment of Bible prophecy, because the Jews are in the land in unbelief. That's what it says right there, we should expect.
Amen.
They are in ungodliness in the land, and the Deliverer comes out of Zion to save them.
Amen.
You see, there's a heavenly Zion. We're going to see that in a minute. He comes out of the heavenly Zion and establishes His kingdom on the earthly Zion. If you don't get that straight, that there everything that you see in the earthly is a pattern of things in the heavenly when it comes to Jerusalem. Heaven has gates. Heaven has foundations. Heaven has a Zion. Heaven has a temple. Heaven has a Holy of Holies. And I don't care what your Bible commentaries and study Bibles tell you, when Jesus was crucified, He took His blood and went up to heaven into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat.
Amen.
And because of that, you and I can enter into prayer boldly now, and one day we'll be right up there in that temple.
Amen.
Do you know the commentaries try to tell you that's just figurative? No, it's not. We'll study that out at a later time. But look what He says, verse 27. Read that. For this is My covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Folks, the church has already had its sins taken away by now. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about Israel and its future. And when they look upon Him whom they have pierced, they will mourn. It says they will mourn as one mourns over his only son. That's when they will then believe. And it's not by faith, it's by sight. And that's the beginning of the millennium. And throughout the millennium, folks, you have these people teaching that you're saved by faith, and that's the only way to be saved in every dispensation. That's a lie. You're saved by faith now, by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. In the millennium, you're saved by sight. And even those who see Jesus on a throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years are still going to rebel at the end.
Yeah.
Think about that one for a while. It's amazing. So where is Zion? Well, let's just look at it. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over a few pages in your Bible. Somebody's phone's dying. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Spelled S-I-O-N in your King James Bible. You're going to find that they chose to spell New Testament words and names differently on purpose. And I had some lady email me and tell me she had a friend who believed that the King James was obviously in error because they spelled the names wrong in the New Testament. They didn't spell anything wrong. It's transliteration and it comes over into as either Zion with a Z or Sion with an S. And if you look at the Z, it normally is Old Testament. I believe every time it's an Old Testament is a Z, and the New Testament is an S. But in Hebrews 12:22, read that with me. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's the heavenly Zion. Now there's an earthly, but there's a heavenly. And that's where Jesus is going to come from when he saves Israel at the end of the tribulation period. The deliverer is the begotten Son as well. Look at verse 7. Read that. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now I've had people ask me, well, is that talking about when he was born? The answer is yes. Oh, I thought it was talking about when he was resurrected. It is. It's both. And there are many times in the Scripture you see that something is said and it has a twofold or even threefold fulfillment. Begotten refers to the famous verse in John 3:16. Jesus is begotten as the virgin-born Messiah and Savior. How many of you have seen this verse? I'm going to try to remember to bring Dre some more of these Sunday. And I promise you I would have, but that gas leak really threw us for a loop for a couple of days. So anyway, read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he's begotten as the Son, virgin born. But he's also the first begotten from among the dead. Look at Acts 13, if you got your Bibles open. Acts 13:33. And he's also called the firstborn from among the dead. And there are a lot of, well, all the cults use those verses like that to confuse people and try to teach them that he was created when he's referred to as my firstborn. And when it says that he is the beginning of the creation of God, and they try to teach that that means he's created. No, he's not the first creation. He's the beginning of creation. See the difference? So be mindful of those subtle changes. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The subtlety of the serpent. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Now, Acts 13:33, read that. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Boy, you can't get any more clear than that, can you? He even tells you right where to look. And he did not say second chapter.
Amen.
Just had to point that out. Did you hear that, John? You straighten your daughter out there. That is a direct reference to Psalm 2, as it says, and Revelation 1:5. I'll just read that real quick. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. The only begotten Son is also the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. Amen. So the Antichrist New World Order is replaced by the Messiah's world order. Amen. And if we were Old Testament Jews reading David's Psalm, that's all we would know. But because of what we just did, the Old Testament is, put it this way, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. But the old is in the new revealed. Get that? And so we're able to look at the New Testament and see things that even David didn't clearly see. You and I are a privileged lot. Psalm 2:8, read that. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now that seems like a strange thing to say, give thee the heathen. But you realize, as I just said, in the millennium, his inheritance is the entire world, which will include the Gentile nations, which will include heathen, who will rebel in the end of the millennium against him. But for 1,000 years, they belong to Jesus. The humble servant, as he's called, the humble servant Christ, returns the second time with a rod of iron. Look at verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Oh, people don't like that Jesus.
My Jesus wouldn't judge people. My Jesus wouldn't send anybody to hell. My Jesus is loving and he doesn't judge people, and he wouldn't do that.
And those are Christians I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the world. Professing Christians. They don't like Jesus, folks. I mean, it's not that they don't like the biblical Jesus. He's the only real Jesus. And they don't like him. And I've had people flat out tell me that. They do not like the biblical Jesus. This is fulfilled in Revelation. We're going to read a little bit. I want you to turn first to Revelation 12:5. How many of you remember our studies in Revelation 12 just a few weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Come on now, it hadn't been that long ago. Revelation 12. And we see this prophecy of the only begotten Son of God ruling and destroying the old order and ruling with a rod of iron. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Read that. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Of course, that's in a nutshell, talking about Jesus Christ. Israel brought him forth, and he was to rule all nations, but was rejected. And so he died, was buried, and rose again. And 40 days later, Acts chapter 1, he was caught up and to his throne. And then he's going to return from that throne in Zion to save Israel. And Revelation 12 tells that story. And the amazing thing is to see that Satan has spent an inordinate amount of time distorting the plain truth of Revelation 12. You have the Roman Catholic Church claiming that the woman in Revelation 12 is Mary. And then you have people like Mike Hoggarty saying the child there is the church and not Jesus. And you just have all kinds of distortions. And it's because there's a very important fact there that Satan doesn't want people to understand. And that is Jesus will be back.
Amen.
So here's some scripture light on it. Turn over a few more pages to Revelation 19. And this series of events is described in Revelation 19, both what we read there in Revelation 12:5 and what we're reading there in Psalm 2. Cross-reference is Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. I'll read verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now see, without the Spirit of God and discernment, many, many men through the years, many, many pastors and teachers, and many, many Christians have tried to say that the white horse in Revelation 6 is Jesus.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.